Clients who are happy may still leave you, but clients who are seeing results and seeing them fast, now that increases the value you deliver and decreases the chance that new clients will churn on you. So, how did this digital marketing agency drive client results 70% faster, increase customer satisfaction scores, and start getting glowing feedback from more clients? It was all about strategy. More specifically, they did away with the old divide between their strategy and client services teams and introduced a new client-facing role solely responsible for consistently updating the client's strategy and delivering client results. By creating this new role that now works alongside their project managers, they've been able to decrease the feedback loop between performance data and the strategy the agency is executing for their clients. In today's conversation with Kate Vasilenko, CEO at 42DM, you'll hear why they hired marketers with more in-house experience for this new role, the questions they asked to find the right talent, and how they made this structural change to their client delivery team so that you can learn how to do the same. As we dive in, let's hear from Kate about the client feedback and market conditions she was noticing that initially led her to realize a change was needed in the first place.
It is beginning of 2023. We are B2B marketing agency for tech companies, full service agency, working predominantly with tech businesses. And as we all remember, 2021, 2020 were amazing years for tech businesses. They were growing like crazy. Everything was amazing. Everybody was so like inspired working in tech and like working with tech. But 2022 and 2023, they were much more challenging due to like how the market developed, how overinvested the companies were, and which like how high they raised the capital and what were the growth like rates before. It is a very different year for the tech businesses because the speed rate of growth really slowed down. But the goals that were set for the B2B marketers at tech businesses, for CMOs and for CROs, were still very high. So our clients needed to reach the goals faster. That is reason number one. So speed of growth and efficiency of growth. The second reason is actually the AI, of course, but not in a way that ChatGPT changed our lives for better. We can now craft the blog posts like in 3 seconds. It changed also the way how B2B buyers are searching for information. So actually, impacted a lot on the way we needed to develop the strategies. In the March of 2023, we actually identified first leads into our Google Analytics of our clients that were coming from ChatGPT directly. What does it mean for the agency? It actually means that the way people are searching for the information, the way B2B buyers are searching for tech tools and solutions is changing dramatically. All of those changes really impacted the way inbound strategies are working. That means the way we are developing those strategies also should be changed. And the reason number three is also very, very important, the data landscape. And that's another one layer that added to our how we oversee everything that is happening with elimination of the third-party cookie, with what Google is doing right now, with how Apple actually also restricted the data policies and so on so far. So those are three reasons why we decided that something should be changed. We didn't know exactly what we needed to change, but something should be changed definitely. So we sat at the table with the management team, our amazing team leads, together with the us co-founders, me and Roman, and we made a strategic session designed and to address all of those challenges and actually to design the solution. So that's where we started to think, okay, we need to be faster. We need to adapt on the go, and we need to be very, very data-driven in very extremely changing data environment. And that means for us, okay, we cannot anymore just strategize and then implement for half a year what we strategized. The strategy should have happened immediately, instantly, and should be adjusted instantly. And that's where we come up, okay, then our traditional structure will not going to work. Where strategic department is developing a strategy and then project manager together with the delivery teams with SEO, paid advertising, MarTech, and content are then executing what was designed. And then in 3 months, we are reviewing the solution. No, we need a person where a team member dedicated to the client need who will be doing that daily. Designing the strategy and then adjusting it based on data, eliminating the core opportunities and identifying those opportunities and actually empowering our clients with a faster and better growth. So that's when we decided to implement the dedicated B2B marketers and to add them to our teams, working together closely with our project managers.
Awesome. So it came down to introducing a new role, a dedicated B2B marketing strategist who is kind of joined at the hip with your project manager who's used to leading those client delivery teams. You did a great job, Kate, of talking about the three things that you guys saw as far as macro market impacts to your clients that precipitated this. And essentially what I heard you kind of boil that down to, which probably came from hours of sitting at the table and that brainstorming session that you mentioned, was that you needed to iterate on strategy faster so that there could be a tighter feedback loop from strategy shift and judging what's working for the client and implementing those changes. And it needed to be a shorter feedback loop so you could implement those changes midstream in campaigns for clients. Is that accurate summary there?
Yeah, it's a very accurate summary. So actually, we needed to iterate. We needed to make this feedback loop much faster. We needed to make data-driven execution. So strategy is converting to strategy plus data-driven execution day by day. And that is why when we cannot separate those functions, we need people within the team who are responsible for both, who are actually bridging the gap between strategy and delivery on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And we understand who those people are. Those are B2B marketing generalists. So they work sometimes with our customers. So that was the time when we understood we cannot move forward only led by team leads for separate divisions and the project manager. We need those B2B marketers be on the side of us and our clients. And that was actually when we started to some pilot initiative to test if this is the approach to move forward and to start to identify who those B2B marketers should be, what are the core benefit and core role within the teams. And we defined it very clearly for our company, those are more data-driven B2B marketing generalists who understand the nature of the analytics, the nature of the not actually MarTech, who understands very well channels and how the B2B buyer's journey is changing and can see those minor spikes in data and can come up with the ideas. What is behind those data? Why is this happening? Why the organic traffic growth slowed down? Why the paid advertising for this specific ACP is not performing as it was months ago or somehow? So see those pivotal moments, act on those insights and see how the market changes around to adopt the best practices.
Right. And taking those data-driven things and the gut intuition from that marketing strategist to adjust the strategy and then the execution, again, more in real time, as we've been talking about here, it very much aligns with one of the findings when we surveyed over 500 agencies last year in our State of Agency Operations report here at teamwork.com. If you haven't read that yet, we'll link to it in the description of today's show notes. But one of the things that we saw is that a lot of clients wanted more strategy from their agency. They wanted more of that consultative approach to, as opposed to, hey, here's what we think we should do. We're kind of sold on this strategy that the agency typically implements. And now we're dealing with a team that's great and delivering, but we're not getting that constant strategic conversation and leveling up the conversation in that way. And so I think your experience here, Kate, is a microcosm of what a lot of other agencies are maybe feeling from their clients as well. Tell us a little bit about then making that change, what the structure now looks like today versus what it looked like before. So you mentioned you had a strategy team here, and then you had project managers and the client service delivery teams here. By the way, I'm talking with my hands. If you're only listening to the audio version of this podcast, we're now on YouTube, so you can see our faces and see some of the visuals when we share. But with that visual in mind, Kate, talk us through a little bit of what it looked like before and what it looks like today from a structural perspective so that others can kind of envision it?
Okay, so as a full service B2B marketing firm for tech companies, we had like 6 core departments in our agency. So that was strategic department, that was customer success department, upper project management, paid advertising, SEO, marketing technology, and of course, content and design. When we identified that there was a pivotal moment for change, we decided that strategy should be within this customer success function, and it should be ongoing. So those B2B marketers that we implemented within the structure that we added to our team, and those were a part of the customer success team. Part project managers work day by day alongside with dedicated B2B marketers, all to communicate, to empower our clients, customers with the best insights. And that's exactly what you highlighted, that was the challenge. That challenge is very common because clients see strategic people once in a while, and then in day-by-day execution, they lack those insights. So we wanted to change that, and we changed that by adding dedicated B2B marketing team into the customer success office and empowering our project managers with really professional insights and professional domain expertise, people who can really bring the strategy into action.
So I want to get to the clients, especially the results, as we mentioned at the top of this episode, that you saw for clients and for the agency. And hey, this is a change, but really what warrants this conversation is what did that result in? But before we get there, I'm just itching to ask you, Kate, any time that you change the structure in a client services firm, like an agency, and you introduce multiple stakeholders, multiple points of contact, there can be confusion, there can be conflict, those sorts of things. How did you make this shift and make it clear what the project manager is responsible for, what the marketing strategist is responsible for, and making that clear not only internally, but to the client? Talk us through kind of navigating that shift, especially in client-facing roles like this.
You're fully right. Yes, it's very hard to introduce two client-facing roles and identify for the client, communicate for the client efficiently. What is the difference? What questions should be addressed by a dedicated B2B marketer? And what questions are covered by a project manager? So actually, the mission of the project manager right now is to make the project on time, on budget, to get the deliverables done, to get them on high quality, and to control that everything is going smoothly. Communicate day by day, like deliverables approvals, and circulate around the content, while the responsibility of dedicated B2B marketer is actually results, real result that we bring to the customers. KPI they are setting to us, and that we need to exceed, of course. So everything related to reporting, everything related to analytics of the data, identifying the insights and actually making those insights come to life with the, okay, we need this kind of campaign right now for this ICP, because we see that ICP will drive us success. The ICP is growing heavily. We have huge like amount of inbound leads, for example, coming, and we see, okay, yeah, we are the great solutions for them. Let's do something more. So strategic part, results, and everything related to how we iterate on what we do is on marketer side. That is how we communicated this couple to the clients. And also that is how they collaborate close side by side daily with the team.
I love that. Very clear delineation and very clear roles and responsibilities between those two roles. That makes complete sense to me. So I think from here, Kate, we can talk about what are some of the results that you've seen since making this change. Before we get into, we always want to spend a lot of time on this show on Agency Life talking about the how. How did you actually do it? How would you do it differently? How can others start down this path if they're noticing some of the same symptoms with their clients? So we're going to make time for that. But I'd love to hear, to make that how more impactful, let's talk about the what. What were some of the results, both internally and with the clients, that you saw in making this shift to your client delivery team?
First one, the speed. We've seen 70% reduction in the time taken to achieve clients' goals, dramatically speeding up the value delivery. So, for example, scaling before that takes took for us 5 months. Yeah. Right now, in 3 months, we actually achieve the monthly goals for the client. And that's in really fast, including the strategic iteration and everything, and coming up to the scaling point, reaching the customer. Client satisfaction. Of course, when you bring the results faster, clients are happy. So we noticed that 30% increase in client satisfaction and the feedback, incredible feedback we received from the customers. Like, that is the best job. That is amazing strategy. You've run an incredible campaign. So that is what the team right now, like, receives from the clients on a daily basis. And that is something that is very much improving the motivation among the team as well, because they see, okay, clients are happy. And then the team is happy. That's very important also. And of course, like, the exact results for the clients, like for the pilot project, when we identify, yeah, we've done something right. The first project, we ran the pilot and we added the amazing B2B marketer to the team. In 1 month, and that was a really challenging project where we wanted to grow, but like within the budget, but through the efficiency. So not grow the budget, but increase the efficiency of what we are doing. In first month, we've seen 20% more MQLs, and client was like, oh, come on, like 20% in 1 month. It was like, it is a great result for like pretty narrow and very competitive niche. So that's how impactful those changes became for us and for our clients. And that's very important.
Yeah. So you saw that you were reaching client goal achievement faster. You were increasing client satisfaction. And then you called out one specific scenario where the key KPI, that's a little bit redundant, but the main KPI that you were shooting for that one client, they were very happy with. Well, Kate, that's fantastic. I imagine others who are seeing some of these similar market changes over the last year, year and a half that you mentioned at the opening are thinking, okay, well, how did you make this change? Because anytime that you're changing, you know, the core part of your tech stack in an agency, like your project management software, you're changing team structure, you're introducing a new role, especially in a client service firm, it means that you have to be very careful because the people are the product. There are all these nuances that, you know, frankly, SaaS companies and product companies don't always have to deal with that we have to deal with in agency life. So talk us through how you guys made that change and maybe some of the things that that worked and maybe some of the things that you might do differently now that hindsight is 2020, as they say.
The change was initiated with a pilot project. So we actually started with in May 2023, we started our first pilot project. And in first month, like we've seen, yeah, that is something really good. We can see that happening. And then it was like, it took us, I think, like 2 more months to make sure, yeah, those are stable and sustained result that we achieve from this, like two people working together on similar project, communicating to the client, and everything runs smoothly and seamless for the client and for the team. So this pilot project ended up extending to 3 projects, 3 clients working with this B2B marketer. And in 5 months from the start, from the pilot project started, we actually started to hire additional B2B marketers to our team. So the whole, I would say the whole like transition was like 5 months when we decided, yeah, that is the way we go. That is the way we scale. And that is when we need to bring more people, more dedicated B2B marketers to our team. 3 months of them were dedicated to single pilot project. Then we expanded that to more clients. See, okay, if those results are sustained, if that's not just some one project luck. So yeah, yes, that worked. And then we started to hire.
I love it. So you mentioned hiring. And for anyone who missed previous episode with Eric Hsu, he offered some hiring secrets from an 8-figure agency owner that were really, really good about sourcing talent, about finding people within your network as the agency CEO. We'll link to that in the episode description if you missed that one. But with that one fresh in my mind, Kate, my thinking here is Did you realize that you needed to introduce a brand new role with a new role scorecard, a new job description? It wasn't necessarily just moving people from an existing strategy team to this. And if so, why was this a different role as opposed to just plucking people from your strategy team and just moving them over in a different reporting structure, if you will?
That's a very good question here. Regularly in agency life, strategic team is more like, is not so connected to the delivery team, day-by-day delivery. Mm-hmm. And we want to base this day-by-day action on the insight. And of course, we transitioned part of the team to the dedicated marketers, but not on a senior role. So for senior roles, we wanted people who already had the relevant experience bridging the gap between strategy and delivery on a daily basis. So our source of talent were not our, but similar clients to ours. So we actually ended up not hiring from the competitive market, not from the competitors, because competitors didn't have the similar roles. We needed to hire from the product companies, to hire the people, or from the open market where people were working as fractional B2B generalists or fractional CMOs. Because those people already had the experience working dedicated to the specific product or tech company. Mm-hmm. Ideally, 3 or 4 of them, because in our case, the more this hands-on experience on different verticals you have, the more beneficial your experience will be for the agency business. So that was the source of the talents. It was not the similar agencies.
Yep.
Those were more like product companies where they had digital marketing, B2B marketing generalists, fractional CMOs are similar positions. And at those moments, I really understand how hard the life of our clients is when they are hiring those people. Because it's much really easier to hire this person who has the specific background in SEO, PPC, project management, account management, than the person who has this broader experience and strategic thinking and the delivery and the understanding of the specific business. So those are quite a requirement.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were kind of searching in the woods for a unicorn at times here?
A little bit in the beginning, it was like that. Then we defined that this actually was a scalable thing. But yeah. Little bit in the beginning. So the first dedicated B2B marketer was actually a transition, of course. And we started with a transition, but then when we needed to scale, I personally built a process and I tested it myself because, again, for recruiting team and for the customer success team, though this was the first time they needed to hire, they needed some path on how to make that happen. How many interviews do we need? What kind of test assignment do we need? What kind of people and skills do they need to have? Is it more about the hard skills or the soft skills or the experience? What are the most important criteria? So yes, that was a journey. I would say that was a journey of 2-3 months together from starting identifying, yeah, we will do that. And that was a little bit earlier than we started to hire. And if we will do that, who are those people? So we searched LinkedIn, identified by the experience working in different product companies, in different SaaS companies, people with broader experience to different industries in SaaS, for example, or in product companies. We defined, okay, there are a lot of them who want to work on different projects, actually, who want not to be in one field, and we have the benefit for them. But we need to define those of them who are generalists with data-driven approach. So that has came up when I started to design the test assignments. That was not only about strategy, but also about analyzing the data. And just to make sure that the data are connected properly. So we designed the 3 steps, interviewing process. Actually, 4. The first one, starting with recruiter, providing with their exact requirements for the candidate, designing this job description, and so on and so far. Then the first interview, it was with me, but by now it's always with our brilliant customer success officer. So then the test assignment, then the second interview, and the third and final interview.
Hey there, Logan with Teamwork.com here with a quick timeout from today's conversation to talk about something that's always top of mind for agency leaders like you, profitability. We understand that profitability is constantly on your mind, but there's one critical part of most agencies' profitability equation that's often misinterpreted, misunderstood, or overlooked completely. Can you guess what it is? Okay, I won't make you really guess. It's billable utilization. If you don't feel like you and your team have a grasp on this key part of agency life, you can change that with a new ebook on agency billable utilization. In it, you'll learn how to define and measure billable utilization and how you stack up against 500 other agencies just like you. Plus, you can get advice from other successful agency owners on how to effectively track and measure billable utilization. You can get your copy at teamwork.com/resources or check the direct link in the description of this episode. All right, let's get back to today's conversation.
So then the test assignment, then the second interview, and the third and final interview.
So you were talking a little bit, you had a nugget there I want people to make sure they didn't miss. If you are looking at this role and the impact that it's had in your agency, Kate, and you're listening to this and saying, hey, maybe we want to go out and find someone like this and carve out this role, or we have someone who we could move into a more ongoing customer-facing strategy role. You mentioned you need to find someone who wants to be a generalist, not just someone who could be a generalist. I think that's an important point. You mentioned also some of the things that you thought about in the test assignment and in the prioritization of hard or soft skills. Tell us about some of the things that rose to the surface for others who might be thinking about this. What were some of the things that you decided this is important for the test assignment? This is important for the skills in this role. What were some of the key things there, Kate?
So the first important thing was, okay, if we want the person to be data-driven, and data-driven in a broader way than just looking to CRM or Google Analytics, K4, whatever, product analytics. It should be the great candidate needs to see the data everywhere. So that means knowledge and skills to work with open data, like how to analyze those by social media behavior, specific ICP patterns, specific buyer persona patterns. How by analyzing the keywords, identify the demand behind the specific category. What are those trends? So those were like, again, this things are a part of our integral strategic approach, like methodology in our agency. So we knew what to ask. We knew how to work with those open data. We do that day by day, but we wanted other people to at least identify. They cannot not know the exact methodology, but the way of thinking, how they see the data and the insight behind the data, that is what we wanted to see. That is why we asked, for example, to analyze specific like profiles of the people, identifying the pattern, specific category, inbound demand, MSV, like monthly search volume, and prioritize what should be the core focus. I analyzed the inbound demand in other channels, like TikTok. How would you do that? How would you analyze the inbound demand on TikTok? Do you have those opportunities? Do you have the exact tools? There are none of them, but there are some opportunities how to tackle that. So that was like, we wanted people to think a little bit out of the box. And we knew what to ask to make sure, yeah, they will see the data broader. So that's like regarding the test assignment. The second question regarding prioritization of the skill set and hard skills, soft skills. Of course, hard skills are important. But again, in our agency, like at 40.am, we prioritize values first. And that's very important because we want to make sure that people will work together and we will work together and we will go to share the same experience of enjoying what we do. So those values for us are very aligned with the role of B2B marketer because those are empathy, curiosity, enormous curiosity. So the person should be very much into everything new that is happening and thinking, what is the reason behind the change? So that is the kind of mindset we like admire and we inspire within our team members and the ownership. So that is very important for the B2B marketer. Again, because this is the person who is responsible for clients' results. So being the person who can make a decision and can make sure that decision come up as it was created and implemented accordingly and then can be adjusted. So those are three core, like I would say, values that we search in our people from one side. From another side, as a, from the hard skills, yeah, that is data analysis, previous experience in high growth environment, product companies, so growth marketing techniques and lean methodologies, so everything related to the scale-up movement, B2B tech movement, marketing, and of course, heavy understanding of the data landscape, CRM, marketing automation, ideally even AI, because that is, again, but for people with high curiosity, that is actually the first thing they are diving into. So you can identify if the person is heavily in prompt, that's most probably the person you would like to see.
It's funny. I was talking to an agency CEO who's a teamwork.com customer just a few weeks ago, and he was sitting around with a few other agency owners, and they were looking at this resume and cover letter that they got from an applicant. And they were like, I'm pretty sure ChatGPT wrote this. And then they did a little bit of investigating. They were all kind of sitting around, at least from how I remember the story. I might be getting the details off just a little bit. But then they started having this debate when they realized, yes, this was AI written. And half the group was saying, well, then we don't want this person. This seems like a dishonest move. The other camp was essentially, this shows a lot of curiosity, ingenuity, interest in innovation. And so this is actually not a mark against them. This is a mark for them, as long as it's not just, hey, we're plagiarizing something else or those sorts of things. So I think that that curiosity, it makes a ton of sense. I love what you said about trying to find someone who sees the data everywhere. And something you mentioned in there that I think others can learn from is asking those questions of how would you approach this? How would you analyze this? Maybe not even necessarily that they come to the same conclusions that you might in that assessment question, but what is their thinking? And does that show the curiosity, the ownership, the innovation? And also in communicating that, it sets you up to see how well can this person communicate their ideas with authority, expertise, which is what you're going to need in this role that is strategic, but also very heavily client facing. Kate, as you look back, I'm curious, what were maybe some of the toughest parts of this restructuring or maybe things that you have to sacrifice? What do you give up by moving to this structure? What are some of those challenges?
Of course, like, again, before that, we had a strategic department, and I was very much involved in that, in the strategic, like, part of the work and how the strategic department grew and how it developed. And I really love that we had that. But how we when we restructured that, actually the department we sacrificed, but we sacrificed to empower the strategic expertise and to make it, to implement that day by day, the strategic vision day by day. So that is one sacrifice. Of course, when you grew up the customer success team, you need to think how to optimize the delivery, not to put all the cost on the clients. So that is where we also, I would not say sacrifice, but rather slow down the growth on the delivery team side. Again, for them, B2B marketers brought more efficiency because the tasks were very clear of what to do. They didn't need to iterate so much, and that actually brought the efficiency and made them capable of serving more projects in a row.
So for the delivery team, you kind of increased capacity because you were reducing the amount of time those individual tasks took. Is that fair?
Yeah. And we approach that in a holistic way. That's very good, actually, for us. For example, when reporting is on each of the department side, what happens? So each of the department is reporting, okay, SEO got this success, paid advertising got this success, and overall, like, the overall success is like that. We are now approaching that from the opposite side. We're analyzing from the general results, then go down to the each department successes. And that means that we shift the strategies very easily between the departments. If we see for some reason one of the department is overperforming and scaling easier for when it was like on the level of the department itself, they couldn't iterate within the mix so easily. But with B2B marketer on the side, the marketing mix became fluid, actually. And that actually improve this adaptability and agility and better results for the customers, and also improve the efficiency of each of the departments.
Makes a ton of sense. Is this B2B marketing strategist who's now sitting side by side with the project managers on your team, Kate, are they both reporting into the same place? Tell me a little bit about the team structure. And also, follow-up question to that, are they also managing the commercial relationship now as well, becoming the account manager, or does that sit differently? I'm curious kind of the nuts and bolts there for others kind of envisioning how their setup might differ and how they might want to emulate what you guys have done, going back to those great results you've seen.
I would say the team budget part is responsibility of the project manager, but the B2B marketer, B2B marketing strategist is the one who is developing the backlog. So what we will be doing the next months. And then the project manager is saying, okay, that will take this much hour, that will take this much hours, we will need this resources. It means like we have the backlog, and then the backlog is converted into actual, like, for example, accountability for the customer from the hour standpoint. And what will it take from the team side to make this like work?
Yeah.
To implement this backlog from the budgets, like direct budgets. This work is on the B2B marketer together with the departments to identify how much money we will need for a specific channel, for the specific like practice on specific strategy implementation. So that part, if saying so, the money comes from both sides. The direct budgets comes from the B2B marketer, and the estimate of the budgets needed for the team and team allocation comes from the project manager.
Yeah, I think before we get to our final two segments that we always have, including our rapid fire round with our Agency Life Fast Five, Kate, a couple of follow-up questions for listeners right now who are saying, okay, you guys have seen some good results. I see these same market challenges for our clients, and we need to iterate on strategy more quickly so that we can drive better results, which increases client satisfaction, which increases our efficiency, our profitability, our team's happiness, all of those trickle-down effects that you mentioned. What would be some of the first steps you would recommend to someone listening to this who wants to follow down a similar path for all the reasons that we just listed, tried to summarize them here from all of them we've covered through the conversation so far? Where should they start?
They most probably should start with the client, like identifying those challenges, like what are those challenges and where there is a structural gap between the challenge and the solution they want to implement. And if the structural gap is somewhere like silos between strategy and delivery, not enough strategizing, or not very fast iteration on what we are doing to bring the better results, then our solution can work for them. So identifying where the core challenge is, and if this lies in the area of faster results for the clients, better strategizing, adaptability, flexibility for the customer, and from the strategic standpoint, then this kind of our solution can work for you. Of course, when you identified where the structural gap is within your team, you, of course, you are not starting right away to implement the changes. It's good to start with a pilot project, and we were very happy that we started with pilot project, because some of the early like challenges, like how to communicate properly, that's what you said, how to communicate properly is a difference. How to hire the great B2B marketer, but at the same time, selling the benefit of why it is so great not to work in the company, but to work in the agency. What are the benefits and so on and so far? That comes with how the role is structured, that you will be focusing on strategy part and you will have more routines day by day. And that is something that will inspire you. So all of those things, like you will identify your own things to sell here through the pilot project. And also your own challenges, where the most communication gaps come from. For example, if the person can jump into the communication smoothly, or if the communication breaks down because project manager and marketer, like for some reason, cannot communicate efficiently to each other, then the team is frustrated and the client as well.
Yeah. This structure, it seems like, I'm glad you touched on that, Kate, the relationship between the project manager and the marketing strategist is so critical. Have there been any lessons learned there, maybe hard lessons learned from there being some friction or some miscommunication or anything there that you would give folks as kind of some final advice in how to structure that to set both of those roles up for success and ultimately the client up for success?
Again, they are together, but they have different KPIs, some common KPIs and different KPIs. So It is possible for them to have own their own success. And that is very important for each of them to be appreciated equally, because each of these team members bring enormous value. And that's very important, not to over prioritize one role over another. That will not set the thing for the conflict, because they will not gonna have something to fight about. The KPI is a little bit different. They are like the common KPI, of course, the clients like retention, clients happiness, reaching the results. But at the end of the month, from one side is the backlog implemented and have we done a great job? Are they happy? Client is happy with what we delivered. And from another side, from the B2B marketer side, what are the results behind of what we've done? Have we brought them to the level we expected? And so on and so forth. So those are like to avoid, it's not about avoiding the conflict. It's rather not to setting up structural conflict in the basement of this foundation.
That's a really great way to put it. Not setting up conflict in the basement of this foundation. Wow. I really like the way that you put that, Kate. And I think it does go back to that clarity, especially as we say all the time here, agency life is full of nuance, right? And one of the things our leadership team would say oftentimes when I was part of leading an agency is that clarity is kindness. You can set people up to win, to feel empowered, to succeed, really, when you have very clear delineated KPIs between these two roles. And I think going back to what you mentioned towards the beginning of this conversation, I was just kind of taking notes. There were some very clear KPIs between these two roles that you need to separate out, because as the saying goes, when multiple people own something, then no one does, right? And so separating those out, putting this list in this column and this list in the other column between those two roles, I think will set you up for success and not put friction laden there in the basement of the foundation, as you said. I'm paraphrasing now, but all right, Kate, we are going to move on to our fast five and our good shout, giving you an opportunity to answer our rapid fire questions and shout out someone who's impacted your agency life. So with that, let's jump in. Number one of our fast five, if someone gave you an extra $10,000 a month to better run your agency right now, no strings attached, how would you use that extra budget allocation right now?
As like, again, we are a B2B marketing agency and we are very inspired with how AI can impact the personalization. And we run a lot of ABM programs and we love ABM. And we know what a big challenge for a successful ABM campaign is personalization. So our internal idea that we want to implement is actually connect the large language model chats together with the ABM platforms and push enough data to run those personalized content development on scale. So that is like we are thinking on that right now, but we need to connect those APIs, and those are much more expensive than just using the ChatGPT as a user. So if I would have those 10K just right away, so I would probably put it towards this innovation.
Interesting. That is a new one. We haven't gotten that answer yet. So you're adding to the thinking here on Agency Life, Kate. I love it. All right. What are some of your all-time favorite business books, especially that you're recommending to other agency founders and agency leaders, Kate?
For inspiration, From Good to Great, just to be inspired with how great businesses are built. First start when you're starting, Lean Startup. A great book to avoid like inefficiency in the early start. 8-20 principle for the avoiding inefficiency in the later scaling like period, I would say. The Infinite Game to build the culture and for long-term run. Probably you know Simon Sinek, Infinite Game. It's a very, very interesting concept of the leadership. Really love it. And my two personal favorites, but they are not like they are more about broad concept of everything unpredictable will happen. It's Nassim Taleb, Black Swan and Antifragile. Just to understand the concept, mass concept behind the things that happen and why they happen and how to oversee those things that will happen unexpected.
I love that we've got such a mixture of recommendations in your book list there, Kate. We've got a growing list. We're going to have to put those into a roundup blog post or document for everyone, because nearly 40 episodes in, we have 50 to 100 book recommendations across the gamut that are valuable for agency leaders. So if that's something you're interested in, send me a LinkedIn DM if you're listening to this, because I want to see how valuable that might be if you're a longtime listener of Agency Life. All right, quick aside, Kate, number three on our list, what's one mistake you've made in running your agency that you're never going to forget?
Putting the risky bet on emerging market that was not sustained. Back in 2017, we were just agencies for the tech companies, digital marketing agency for tech companies. And at that point, emerged amazing technology, crypto, blockchain, and very promising technology. And you know where we went. Yep. So we grew very fast, and then we very fast downscaled. And that was very painful. We were very young, and we were not mature enough to handle the scaling and unscaling. So if I would recommend to anybody right now how to avoid this kind of mistake, and I would never do that. First of all, pick your niche very precisely. For us, we are helping B2B tech companies, and that's it. We are focusing on sustained and growing market, and we are staying focused on this market and not be over-inspired, I would say, by flashy things. Yeah. Which was at the time the...
Yeah, don't get shiny object syndrome. It's amazing, whether it's a product company, a tech company, a professional service firm like an agency, picking the right market can really make or break everything. You can have a great service, great product, great team, you know, all of those sorts of things. But if you're not serving the right market, then everything can crash around you. We could dig into that story, I'm sure, for another hour. But for the sake of time, I won't keep you too much longer, Kate. All right, number four and five are two sides to the same coin in our fast five here. Kate, what do you think is the hardest part about agency life? And what do you think is the best part about agency life?
I would say hardest is scaling, because like we are working with B2B tech. You always see the how scaling goes when you're a tech company. So it's like, okay, you just put more like money into the engine, and ideally you go with the linear outcome or hypergrowth. With when you are working in service business, that is not how it works. So like for me, it's a personal mission actually to show that agency can be scaled, not maybe in 100% way as this company, like product company, but very close, and agency can be productized to simplify and to build more efficient scalability models. So that's like scaling in agency is harder than with a product company.
And now the other side of that coin, what do you think is the best part about agency life? Is it really that opportunity for scale? Is that also the other side of the coin?
I would say no, actually, because again, you know, you've said that yourself. When you start in, when you work in product company, you don't see your clients often. So you don't receive this appreciation feedback. And you work within the team and you have this people aspect, but agency has it all. It has amazing people interaction. And if you set it right, it will be inspiring you day by day. And that's like why I enjoyed the agency life for the last probably 20 years, working within the agency and then setting my own. So that's actually because I love the people I work with. And when you do hire right, those people will motivate you to the enormous height.
Very well said, Kate. All right. Before I let you go, what we always like to do is give our guests here on Agency Life an opportunity to shout out someone who's impacted their own journey in agency life. Who would you like to thank or mention today?
Oh, I would like to mention my partner, because he's amazing. Roman is helping me with all the operation things, and that's not where I'm really good at. So I really admire that at some point in life, we had this opportunity to set the business together, and he made incredible impact on how our business grows and how our business works. So definitely to my partner. Of course, to incredible team that inspires every day and makes me wake up at 7 a.m. like, and jumping right away to the call. That's how it works here. And the another one person that has actually impacted my the way I am right now very much is the founder from the of the Ukrainian company Katerina Kostereva. She's one of the most successful Ukrainian woman entrepreneurs, and she now lives in Boston, but she set up like amazing company, Creatio. Being a female entrepreneur, being like a founder and building a company of, I think, 1,000 people or something. So that set me an example. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible in tech. And that is something that I would like to do for us.
Well, Kate, this has been a fantastic conversation. I love the things that you shared. One of the things I thought was so interesting about your pivot in this role and the structure and the outcomes that you saw was a little bit of a shift in the persona you were looking for within your agency, not looking to folks who have kind of made the rounds in agency life, but plucking those folks who have done some fractional marketing work and some in-house work within tech, within SaaS, and within product companies. So that was really interesting to me. I think it's going to be valuable for agency life listeners. If anybody is in that camp and got some value from today's episode, how would you suggest they reach out and stay connected with you, Kate?
So LinkedIn is the easiest way to connect with me. And again, if you need any help and you have some questions and you want to know more about how this pivotal change made for us and what we achieved with that, I would be happy to cover. So very open for communication with agency folks.
Fantastic. For anybody listening, I can guarantee you whether the recording's on or off, Kate is a pleasure to talk to. And I love making these connections in the agency community. So Kate, thank you for sharing that. For anybody listening, I encourage you to at least send that connection request to Kate. Let her know how valuable this conversation was. As always, thank you so much for listening. Kate, thanks for being our guest today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Logan. It was an amazing pleasure as always. I'm a very admirable fan of your show and I really love what you do. And again, thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. You've been listening to Agency Life, and we hope you've been enjoying each and every episode. If so, you've probably got a friend who'd find the show valuable as well. Sharing a podcast with someone in your network is an easy way to add value and show someone that you're thinking about them. Somebody probably came to mind for you just now. Go ahead, shoot them a text with something like, "Hey, I've been listening to Agency Life, and I think you'd like this episode I was just listening to." They'll probably really appreciate it, and hey, we will too. And if you're looking for even more content to support your agency life journey, check out teamwork.com/agency life. There you can search through past episodes, get access to the Agency Life newsletter, and find additional video content to support and inspire you as you continue on this crazy roller coaster ride that is agency life.